listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Kerry Saldo, host of Connecting Point on WGBY, and Chris Collins, contributing editor with Franklin County Now. Kerry, Chris, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
This week, police brutality protests continued across western Massachusetts in response to the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody. In Springfield, the city council is calling for changes to the police department's use of force policy. Councilor Orlando Ramos says the current policy on restraints such as chokeholds is too vague.
We want to make sure that there's no ambiguity, that there's no semantics, that it's very clear and precise that we are banning all chokeholds and carotid restraints.
And the Springfield Police Commissioner has agreed to strengthen that language. Chris, is this going to be enough of a deterrent for officers not to use these tactics?
I don't know. I always get kind of leery when politicians start setting tactical policy for police departments. However, I fully understand that this is a situation where you've got a lot of feeling in the community and people want change. And this is an opportunity, quite frankly, for the city council to push policy in the direction they want it to go. What's going to be curious is going to be how the mayor responds, but also how Clapperwood responds. Because if you notice, she didn't say she was going to go along with it, just that she would consider those ideas or those tactical changes. So this is going to bear watching.
Also this week, a group of councilors, including Justin Hurst, the council president, renewed calls that the mayor establish a police commission and pull five officers indicted for perjury off of the job until their cases are resolved. The city council and mayor's office have strongly disagreed for some time over that police commission issue, Kerry. Could that get in the way of any reforms of the Springfield police, this ongoing back and forth between the council and the mayor?
Well, it's certainly nothing new. You know that as well as I do, Adam, the back and forth that's gone on forever. But I think now is a time for activism. We have protesters standing up across our region, across this country. And I think the city councilors are wise to be raising their voices on this.
Also, just today, the ACLU announced it was suing the Springfield Police, looking for racial and ethnic data about officers' interactions with residents. The group says the city has resisted public records requests. Chris, your take on all of this?
Well, I mean, the ACLU, I think Kerry's point is valid, that you're going to see a lot of things, a lot of legal actions taken, a lot of logistical actions, political actions taken that you wouldn't ordinarily see, because this is a real situation. I mean, I attended a Black Lives Matter rally in Greenfield. I'd never seen anything like it. And these people were deadly serious. And it's not just activists now. It's all kinds of people. It's people that look like me, which is unusual in situations like this. And it's good to see people standing up. The ACLU has been after this data for a while. I think they're going to find a way to get it. And I'll be curious to see what that data reads.
Kerry, what about this latest lawsuit?
I think that what I've been hearing, whether it's from the ACLU or anti-racism activists experts I've been speaking with over the last several weeks, people who need to be leading the conversation right now are people of color. What are we hearing from people of color about what they need, whether it's banning chokeholds, whether it's more transparency and accountability? Leadership needs to be listening to those conversations and taking notes and making action based on that.
Also this week, Springfield Roman Catholic Bishop Mitchell Rozanski was named Archbishop of St. Louis and will leave Western Mass after about 6 years. Rozanski has been criticized by survivors and even some prosecutors over not being transparent enough in handling clergy sexual abuse claims. Asked about that in St. Louis this week, Rozanski pointed to some recent steps he's taken, including an agreement with district attorneys.
Healing begins in the transparency. So I know that we can't seem to do things perfectly, but we're trying as best we can to be as transparent, as proactive as we can.
Kerry, what about the timing of this transition? Someone new will be coming in while there's still so many loose ends from Rozanski's efforts on clergy sexual abuse.
They'll have to be quick on their feet to pick up the slack here. And from the perspective of victims and advocates, they were calling for the resignation of Rozanski. They're certainly not getting that. But they're getting him transferred out of this diocese. I'm hopeful that the bishop takes the accountability agreements that were made here in this region with him to St. Louis in terms of the spirit of that, and will be vigilant and forthcoming and quick to take action if there are sexual abuse allegations in that diocese. Because unfortunately, we've seen a pattern in the Catholic Church where these things happen and they're swept under the rug.
Chris, how do you see Rozanski's legacy in Western Mass?
I think that it depends on who you talk to. I think Carrie's right. Her analysis is right on. I also found the timing curious. And whoever comes in, I'll be curious to see if they pick up that ball that Rozanski put in play. It's long overdue. It's something that has needed to happen for a long time. And not knowing the inner workings of Vatican politics, I can't tell you whether his bacon got saved by moving to St. Louis or not, but the next person is going to have big shoes to fill just on that issue alone.
Also this week, Massachusetts transportation officials revised ridership estimates for a proposed east-west rail service from the western part of the state to Boston. Consultants say the route could draw thousands upon thousands more riders than first predicted, but Longmeadow State Senator Eric Lesser still isn't satisfied.
I still feel strongly that the ridership estimates are far, far, far below where they should be and where I think kind of common sense would indicate they would be.
Carrie, do these new estimates help the case for east-west rail?
Well, they certainly don't hurt it. And, you know, Senator Lesser and other advocates of this rail project will continue to push, I'm sure. And I wouldn't even really be surprised if we didn't see a call for an updated independent ridership estimate or greenhouse gas savings, even from advocacy groups like Trains in the Valley.
Chris, is this price tag of between $2 and $25 billion still going to be a sticking point?
Anytime there's that kind of money on the table, it's a sticking point. But this is starting to sound eerily familiar. The Knowledge Corridor trains were supposed to be huge in ridership, according to the early estimates, and they really have not lived up to what those early estimates were. You're not going to know how effective this train is until it's built and people are actually riding on it. I think that what you have to do if you're a supporter of this is find a way to make the case that this is, no matter how many people ride it, it's needed. It's needed to connect the East and the West. It has been for a long time. And the money will be the determining factor of exactly how far this thing goes, I believe.
And Carrie, real quick, of course, there's a pandemic going on. It looks like state budget estimates are not going to be pretty. What about trying to get East-West rail done?
Well, when I talked to State Senator Adam Hines a couple of weeks ago about this, he thinks now is the time to strike here, especially because there's the potential for federal transportation dollars on the table for this project.
All right, Carrie Saldo with WGBY's Connecting Point and Chris Collins with Franklin County Now. Thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. Remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.